Hello. Good morning, everybody. I hope you guys are well. So we like to, how many of you guys like to have conversations with a wall? Right? If you do, you're interesting. You're strange. So you, usually when, you know, I say hello, you know, you can say, what's up? Hey, how you doing? How's your mom and them? So we're going to try it again. Hello. Very good. Very good. So I'm so glad you guys are here at Motion this morning. We're starting a new series today called Overcorrect. And so how many of you guys have driver's license? You have a driver's license. You've been driving. How many of you guys have been in a wreck? Your fault or not, just been in a wreck. How many of you have been in a wreck because you overcorrected? Okay. How many of you have been in a wreck because you overcorrected because you were texting and driving? Back up and go back to the other series we just did. So we did a series. We just finished a series called Dot Communism, and we talked about all that stuff. So if you missed it, go find it on iTunes. Shameless plug. It's good for you. Change your life. So what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks is some of the areas and ways that we tend to overcorrect. So let me kind of give you the backstory and some of the background. So overcorrecting is, say you're driving down the road and you see a cute little squirrel in the road and you jerk off the road to avoid hitting the squirrel, but then you went too far to the right to avoid hitting the squirrel and you jerk it back the other way, and before you know it, you're rolling down the road in your 6'4". Foe. You guys got to get up on your hip-hop references. I know. That was 90s hip-hop. I'm sorry. I'm old. But that's kind of the idea of being over, or having, you know, the situation played out in your life of being overcorrected. And what we do, this is what we do. We do this in our lives sometimes. And I've done this, man. I've got areas that I could specifically tell you about that I have, in order to get away from one direction or one thing, I'll go so far to the other side that it's actually harmful to me. And we do this in a lot of ways in the church. And we'll talk about some really cool ones. We'll talk about I'll just give you an idea so you have a better understanding. You've got handles on this, like we talked about, love handles. That is going to be so fun. Anyway, grace and truth. Like, that's a really good example of this. Like, a lot of times in the church and even in our lives, like, we want grace, like, because, you know, we know us and we know that we make a lot of mistakes, and grace is a good thing, right? But then at the same time, there's also this truth factor. It says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. And so he told the truth, but there's a way to tell the truth. So you need both. And it's not go so far one way with grace that you forget the truth. And it's don't go so far one way with the truth that you have no grace. There's a balance, and we can overcorrect. So what we're going to talk about, you guys get it? You with me? You dig? Good. So what we're going to talk about today, since it is Father's Day, we're going to talk about how we've overcorrected in some ways with respect to what it means to be a man. Because there are so many misnomers and there are so many myths in our society about what it means to be a man. If I asked 10 different dudes what it means to be a man, I'd probably get 10 different answers, right? It's just because we grow up with different models of what a man is, and most of those, like, if we're honest, isn't what really a man is. I know very few, like, genuinely good fathers. Like, a lot of them, if they're not absent, you know, from the life, they're not present, if that makes sense. Like, just because they're there doesn't mean that they're always there. And I heard a story one time, a statistic. I like statistics. You know that the average man spends 10 minutes a day with his kids? 10 minutes a day with his children. So, anyway, I expected a little bit of, like, the gasp, like, suck the air out of the room. 10 minutes a day! Like, lady, you spend more time putting your mascara on than that. And a father doesn't spend 10 minutes a day with his kid, on average. The rest of us, the really good ones. I've come to the conclusion I'm a good dad. Shelly's a great mom. Just makes me look bad. So that's what we're going to talk about. See, I coach my son's little league football team, or flag football team. Now they're starting tackle. And I decided in the beginning that we weren't going to let my son learn how to play football in Pine Tree. I'm just telling you. I wanted my son to learn how to play football. So we didn't let him learn how to play football in Spring Hill. I took him to the hood. I took him to Longview, like South Longview. We're on the Hudson Hawks. Shelly can tell you stories. And so I look like a piece of vanilla in a sea of chocolate. I'm serious. And so I've been working with these kids for 3 years. And I don't know how many, I can tell you story after story after story about these kids who don't know what. The reason I started coaching, let me kind of back up a little bit. The reason I started coaching, I didn't want to coach. I always said, I'm not going to be a coach. That is so dumb. I'm going to drop my kids off, go do my thing, come pick them up, and I'll go to all the games. I'll be a good dad. And I showed up, and there was one guy coaching 30 kids. 30 kids. And not like your run-of-the-mill good kids. Like 30 kids. Like buck wild, trying to stab each other kids. Not that bad. I'm being a little bit of exaggerative, whatever that is. Facetious. There we go. And so I just kind of stayed around for a little bit, and before you know it, I got sucked in, and I started helping out. So now it was two guys coaching 30 kids. The odds aren't much better in that situation. And so I've talked to these kids, and I've got to see them grow up a little bit, and so many of them, they don't know where their dad is, if he's not in jail. Like, that's the one that breaks your heart. Some kids, like 7, 8-year-old kids, like talking to you about how, oh man, my daddy's in jail again. Like, what are you supposed to do with that? You're like, oh, sorry, your dad's an idiot. Like, it's what you want to say, but you can't tell a kid that, right? And so what they do to fill this gap, they start looking for other examples of what a man is, and they look in all the wrong places because they don't know any better. So you start idolizing celebrities and, you know, rap stars, rock stars, whatever, the neighborhood moron that gets, you know, squeaky wheel, and they get all of the attention, and all of a sudden you think that's what's cool. And so you start modeling all of the wrong people because that's kind of the way that you grow up and you think. You guys know what I'm saying? I don't even know what I'm saying. I start talking about these kids, and I start getting all messed up. Anyway, I'm just ready for football season, basically. That's what I meant to say. So anyway, I get to experience this and see this stuff all of the time. And I just think that the church should take the lead on this. Because here's the deal. Like, if we don't teach the next generation what a man looks like, somebody will. Whether it's what a man really looks like or not, somebody's going to do it. And so if we don't take the lead on it, then we're going to miss out on a whole generation of people who doesn't know what a man looks like. And it was really important to Jesus. He talked about this word called discipleship. And he said, go into all the world and make disciples. Jesus said that. How about we go into our city and make disciples? How about we go into our families and make disciples? I don't think we have to go to Haiti to make disciples if we're not going to do it when we're right here and we've got people in our lives that we need to influence and show them what being a man is all about. And so for full disclosure, I'm a work in progress. Don't think that. I don't ever want to come up here and act like I got it all together and I'm telling you, do what I do, right? Because you know better than that, I hope. And so anyway, I'm a work in progress. But what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a few areas that we tend to overcorrect in. But before we do, we got to look at the inspiration for the title of today's message. The inspiration is probably one of my favorite rants of all time, and it's a fella telling you that he's a man. Check this out. You got to play it again. It's so good. You got to play it again. I don't know where that came from. If you haven't watched the whole interview, you need to go watch the whole interview because it's hilarious. But in response to somebody talking about one of his kids, he tells him, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not sure why the 40 thing is so significant, but, you know, don't talk about my kids. Come after me because I'm a man. And that's what we're going to talk about today is I'm a man. And so what we're going to look at is some specific areas that we need to, that we have overcorrected in and we kind of need a little bit more balance in. And the first one is the area of anger. You know that a lot of dudes excuse anger like it's not a problem? To excuse anger in your life like it's not a problem is a problem. And we do this. We even, for some reason or another, we tend to even allow this, not just allow it or tolerate it, but we celebrate it. We celebrate people who have bad attitudes, bad tempers, and short fuses. And it's just not the way that we're supposed to be. To talk about it or to allow it like it's not a problem is a problem. And a lot of this, I get it. Like, a lot of this comes from the way that being a man was modeled to you. And we hear this, like, oh, my dad had an anger problem, so I have an anger problem. Oh, my dad had a short fuse, so I have a short fuse. If your dad was an idiot, would you continue to be an idiot? It's just not logical. Like, you pick and choose what it is you want to perpetuate generationally, like the characteristics or the things that your parents or your father or your mother had, and you choose to perpetuate that. The choice is yours. My dad was an alcoholic. I get to choose whether or not I want to be an alcoholic. I was 4 years old, destroyed my family. Do you think I want to perpetuate that? No. So if your dad has an anger problem and it's destroyed his life, why would you want to perpetuate that? And so we just have let's be intelligent enough to know that it's not okay to excuse things. We don't excuse other sins like this. You don't hear guys walking around like, yeah, I got a lust problem. Yeah, I'm the most prideful dude in the entire world. Sup? We don't talk about other problems like that, but with anger, for some reason or another, it's okay. But it's not okay. To talk about it like it is okay makes it not okay. Okay? Okay. And this is, I get it. Like, so many people have excuses for their anger, and the one that comes up the most is just, you know, it's the way I am. And that's a problem, because if you choose to stay the way that you are, that's on you, because according to the Bible and Scripture and all those really important things that we base our life off of, it says in 2 Corinthians that we are a new creation. Everything that was old can be passed away, and you kind of are a new person, and you walk in new mentalities and attitudes and emotions and all of that stuff. So to continue on in that, that's on you. And so we just have to understand that anger is not one of those things that we should allow to be into our lives. And kind of as a culture, we have overcorrected to make this acceptable, because the other side of it is, like, you're a person of peace, and somebody that's peaceable or kind of seeks peace can be seen as a pushover, right? Like, you know, people like this that are just really nice. Just because you're peaceful doesn't mean you're a pushover. Like, you can be, I've got some friends. I've got one guy in particular. He's in this room, and I'm not going to call him out or anything. Duck. Like, nicest guy in the world, but he'll stand up for himself. And that's the way I think that is supposed to be for us. Like, you can be incredibly nice, and you can be loving and vulnerable and all of that stuff, but you can still stand up for yourself. It's not saying that you're a pushover and you're a loser, right? And so what we've done as a society is we've gone so far away from that to the anger side, and we've overcorrected, and it's just a problem. And we need to get back to center. It's an important thing for us to do. Like I said, it's illogical because, you know, to say that your dad was an angry person, and you just want to continue that, like, that's just like saying, well, my dad was a moron, so I'm going to be a moron. It's on you at that point. And the other problem we have with that is, I don't know, Jesus, the Bible, God, because it says in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And listen to this. This is so good. It said, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. You want to live a life that pleases God. You want to live a life that represents him well. Do it apart from anger. Like, and look, we all have certain things that kind of set us off. And I think it's just the idea is that you don't live a life of anger. If you get upset every once in a while, that makes you human, not a bad person, right? It's just the life of anger and allowing it to be in your life constantly. So, like I said, as a society, we've just kind of bought into the belief that this is okay, and it's just not okay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. That's 9. I think I was trying to say 9 and 10 altogether. Or what was the kids' movie when I was a kid? The Adventures of Nim, or come on. Because you're a nerd like me, and you should know these things. The Secret of Nim. Yeah. So anyway, in Matthew chapter 5, verse Nim, it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And, like, this is in Jesus' most famous sermon that he ever gave. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he starts naming off all of these ways that we can be honoring and pleasing to God. And he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And that's not for children. That's for us. Like, don't tell your kids to not be angry if you're angry. And so they pick up on that. They're smart people. So that's the first area that we can probably improve on with, you know, with respect to being a man and not overcorrecting. You guys, good. So the second one is this. Self-control. Can I drop the mic and leave? Because, I mean, let's just, we live in a world where self-control is not very popular and it's kind of overrated. It's an area that's gotten out of control, this area of self-control. It seems that we tend to celebrate people who just do whatever they want. I've heard people say this, and I'm not kidding. And as a matter of fact, I've heard them say it with other expletives included. But the idea is that I'm a grown man, and I'll do what I want. I'm a grown butt man. I do what I want. That's what they say. I'm like, really? You're a butt man? It's intriguing. I'll do what I want. And their life is summed up by this proverb. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, it says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. And you got to kind of go back to the time in which it was written and understand the context a little bit. Like, that was their form of defense. Like, the only way that you could defend a city is to have walls around the city, and they would put archers and kind of their military folks on the wall so that they could protect the walls of the city. Because if the walls weren't protected, then the city wasn't protected, and the city could be ravaged and destroyed and all of that stuff. And so a person who doesn't have self-control in their life has no defense against anything that comes at them. They're an anything goes kind of person. And when you do this, like, destruction and chaos are in your wake. And this is what's so frustrating. Like, I've lived life like this at parts of my life where anything was allowed and I would do anything. And, man, you just get on a slippery slope and you start doing things that you said you would never do. And you become this person that you said you would never become. And it's so fast. And you are a person without walls. It's like a city without walls. And you are defenseless. And you just kind of succumb to all of these other, you know, forces and things that are going on. And so when you live a life of anything goes, like, destruction and chaos follows. But you're so busy fulfilling yourself with temporary pleasure that you don't even take time to notice the source of all of your issues. I thought that was good. So we just need some correction in this area. We need to understand that you can be in control of your life and be a man. Like, you don't have to be a man and do what you want. In fact, if you are a man, you don't do what you want sometimes. I need an organ, because you guys, y'all aren't following. Like, if it's because you're a man that you don't do the things that you want to do sometimes. Anybody can do what they want to do. That's childish. If you don't do what you want to do, that makes you a man. Tell me you wrote it down. See, because you're a man, you don't do the things that you want to do sometimes, because you use your brain and you use spiritual discernment and you recognize that every decision that you make and every action that you take directly affects other people around you. And because you're mature enough to see that, you don't do things that you want to do sometimes. How many of you know that everything that you want to do isn't good for you? Like, I want to eat 400 ounces of cheesecake every time I see it. Lord, I love cheesecake. A key lime pie. So let's talk about dessert for a minute. It's early. We're good, okay? So at one point in my life, cheesecake was my absolute favorite dessert. And then I discovered key lime pie. Oh my, have you had key lime pie? And so then I found out they had key lime pie cheesecake. Woo! And so the point is, I want to eat until I'm just sick of key lime pie. But because I'm, you know, smart enough to know what the end result of that is, I'm 400 pounds and disgusting, look like a can of biscuits. You ever popped a can of biscuits? Anyway. We know what the end result of that is, and so we're intelligent enough to know that we don't make those kind of decisions. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing for you and your life. You don't do certain things because you're a man. Like, this isn't a life of anything goes. This isn't a life of do what you want if you want to be what a real man really is. Like, there are so many, like, go back, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. The love of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Like, and if you want to live a life that's honoring to God and pleasing to God, then self-control is just a part of that. And it covers so many different areas of your life. One of the most glaring and obvious would be kind of in the area of lust and sexuality and all that stuff. Like, you got to have self-control. It says in Titus chapter 2, verse 6, it says, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Why do you think Titus specifically called out the younger men? Because they have hormones coursing through their veins. That's why. I'm convinced. I'm going to write a commentary on that. I'm just kidding. It covers that area. It covers the area of relationships. Like, be self-controlled in your relationships. Like, don't, dude, I see people doing this, and they go from one relationship to another, 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 to another. You get the idea? And what that does, you know, this is what it does. It creates habits in your life so that if you have a problem, you just walk away from it and you never learn anything about conflict resolution, which isn't great for a marriage, because in marriages, there's a lot of conflict, and you need to know how to fight in a marriage. Good. Do you understand that, right? Not like throw down. I don't know, Shelley sometimes. But she's smart, man. She's crafty. She hits me where the bruises don't show. I don't know why y'all are laughing at that. Sick people. So you need to have self-control in your relationships. You need to have self-control in your finances. Like, if you just spend every cent and every penny that you get, like, I don't know. There's a lot of things in the Bible about stewardship and preparing and planning for the future and all of that stuff. So I think self-control is a good thing there. In your temper, like we've already kind of already talked about, the anger thing. Even scheduling. Like, some people have no control of what they do with all of their time. Like, they're just so busy and they don't have any time for anything that's productive because everybody else has kind of consumed their schedule. And I think that having self-control in your schedule is a really good thing. The point is just, is simply that as people who are trying to become men or trying to model manhood, it's really important to have a self-control in your life. It's a pillar in your life. And I should have said this in the beginning, but I didn't, because all the girls are like, oh, we're just talking to the dudes today. You need to know what a man is, because if you don't, you're going to end up with a deadbeat. And man, this is so frustrating. I talk to people, so I had a situation one time where this girl was, she was talking to me about her boyfriend who's abusive, and I said, dump his butt. And she's like, oh, but you know, and she kind of agreed to do it, and then the next day they're together, and I'm like, you're an idiot. You are an idiot. I told you, you need to know what a man is, or you're going to end up in some kind of stupid relationship that you don't need to be in, and it's just a lifetime of problems. So that's that. You can thank me later. Write me a note, please. The last one is this, love. Like, a lot of guys don't know what love is, and if they do, they sure the heck don't know how to express it. Because we're guys, right? That's kind of what we do. And this is the problem. I believe that this is one of those things that we've got to kind of reprogram ourselves generationally. Like, you know, the generation of the 1920s and 30s and 40s is referred to as the greatest generation ever. And the guys that went to World War I and World War II, and they were just incredible guys, and they were courageous, and they were manly. But I think there was one thing that was kind of missing from this generation, is like the ability to express love to their children. Because then it seems like the next generation, it was just a little bit less expression of love. And maybe I'm off base on this, but this is just how I perceive it. So it's reality for me, and it's right. And I have the microphone, so take it. And so like, it seems like every generation we have less ability to articulate our love and express our love to the people that we care about the most. Like, we may really, really love them, but we don't know how to express our love for them. I've got friends who have parents, fathers specifically, who have never told them that they love them. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I have ever heard. I tell my son a gajillion times a day I love him, and he gets on my nerves, but I love him, right? That's life. And so, you know, it would change their whole perspective on what a man is if their father actually took the time to express his love for them. And so a lot of guys, if they even know what love is, they don't know how to express it just because it's been poorly defined or shown to them. We live in a world that defines love as sex. Like, so that's one of the ways that we think that love, or what love is. We live in a world that, or we're marketed to in such a way that the only way we can express love is by giving things to people. Like, if you really love me, you're going to give me that new diamond, right? Bling, bling. No. And see, the problem with that is both of those are byproducts of love. That's not love. Those are byproducts of love. You do things for people because you love them, but that's not the love. And I think you guys are smart enough to see that. It's this love thing that has so many expressions and so many variances, but we just got to narrow it down a little bit. And what we're going to talk about specifically with love is knowing love and giving love. To know what it is the foundation. It's where you've got to start. And so, like we mentioned earlier, it's not all of those other things. It's not sex, and it's not things, and it's not stuff, and it's not, you know, material possessions or any of that stuff. Like, those are all byproducts. Rather, this is what love is: being who you are and sharing that with the people that God has placed around you. Like, that's it. It's man, we make this, we overcomplicate it. Sometimes we're so smart that we're so dumb. Like, we try to make things that are really simple really difficult. And love is simply being who you are and sharing that with the people that God has placed in your life. Like, taking time and energy and effort to share yourself with other people is love. Being vulnerable and opening yourself up to other people is love. And dudes don't want to do this. Like, dudes, vulnerability is a sign of weakness, we think, perceived weakness. But if you really love somebody, then you need to open up to them and make yourself vulnerable to them. And then I think there's a balance to that. Don't be an idiot. Don't go giving your heart away to everybody and everything and make yourself look like a fool, right? We leave that for the girls. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It is a joke. Junior high girls, right? Listen, I'll tell you guys a funny, quick personal story. Shelly told me that she loved me in the seventh grade. And I told her she was crazy. Actually, she wrote in on a note. We were at a church camp. I didn't go to church, but somehow or another, I went to church camp. All the dudes go to church camp. You know why. I know Cody does. Cody's told me all about it. And so anyway, so we're sitting in church, supposed to be listening to the pastor. I might have gotten saved if it wasn't for Shelly writing me love notes in church. And so she writes me this love note, and she was like, I love you. And so I wrote back, sounds like a 50s song. I was so mean. But anyway, the point is, we don't have to make ourselves that vulnerable. That's true. It is true. So just sharing who you are with the people that are around you, sharing your time, sharing your energy, sharing your, expressing all of that. Like, that's what love is. And it's absolutely okay to do this. There was this guy named Jesus that did this. In John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's exactly what he did. And it's not just laying down your life in death. It's laying down your life in living. Like laying down your preferences, laying down your time. How many of you know, like, dude, I would, if it were up to me and I'm a man and I do what I want, I would just play video games all day. Right? As Tavian says, Call of Duty. And play Call of Duty all day. But because I'm a man, I know that I need to share time with my children, and I got to go out and be burning up and pouring sweat and playing basketball and all that dumb stuff, right? And spending time with your family and friends and all of that stuff. And so that's how you lay down your life for your friends, is like sharing who you are with them, and that's what it is. So that's the first part of it, knowing what it is. The other part is just doing it. Like, man, we know so many things, but we fail to do what we know more often than not, right? We've talked about the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing. Wisdom is doing what we know. And it's the same thing in this area. The other part of this is just, it's a continuation of what we know. We have to do what we know. Because we know love, we give love. It's absolutely acceptable. And in fact, it's encouraged to express your love to the people that God has put in your life. And so many dudes, so many guys, they're either hesitant or ignorant in this area. And that's not a slight, it's just the truth. Like, some people just don't know how to do this because it's never been modeled to them. And so I guess my encouragement in that area is, just because you don't know doesn't mean you can't learn. Like, I didn't grow up in a, you know, fatherly, nurturing system. This was my idea of a man. Like, my dad was a mechanic, so I thought when you get mad, you take a spark plug and throw it through the window. Like, that's what I saw as a man. And so that's kind of what, for a long time, I tried to be that. And I wanted to be hard, and I wanted to be angry, and I wanted to be all of these things. And so I didn't learn from him what it meant to be a man and to love people and to express your love. I had to learn that on my own. And this is what we can do. Like, the choice is so much yours that it's insane for us to not do it. This is what you can do. You can take your life experiences. You can take everything that's happened to you and everything that's happened, you know, maybe a lack of a parent or a lack of affection or whatever, and you can allow that to beat you down and defeat you. Or you can allow that to fuel who you're going to be for the rest of your life. Like, because my dad was such, you know, an absent father, I wanted to be the best dad that I could possibly be. You know what I mean? And so the choice is yours. Like, if you want to be a man, like, and you had no example of what that was, you don't have to succumb. You don't have to follow the trend or pass on these generational issues. You can be a man, and you can start a new legacy and a new generation and all of that stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about. Start talking about kids, and you start getting all flustered and hypoallergenic and stuff. I don't know. We need to get this place treated for pollen. It's ridiculous. And so the truth is just simply that, man, it's the best way to live your life. Like, Jesus, Christianity was referred to in the first century as the way. The way. And so I'm just convinced that everything that Jesus told us to do and the way that he told us to live our lives and the things that were important to him that should be important to us, it's just the way to live your life. Like, I'm not telling you you can't do what you want to do, because you have that choice. And you can be wrong. Or you can live your life the way. Like, the absolute best way to live your life. And if you want to be a man, like, these are some areas that we could definitely get better. I know that I get frustrated sometimes. And see, we even do that. Instead of calling it anger, we're like, oh, I'm just frustrated. No, you're mad, and you need to put your big boy pants on and deal with it, right? Like, I do it, you do it. I think we could all probably improve in this area of self-control. Like, there are so many areas in our life that self-control is so important, and there's always room for improvement. Yeah, you know you, and you know that there's room for self-control and improvement. And the last one, man, I think it's just really important that we We have love and we express love. Like, man, what is wrong? What could possibly go wrong with letting people know that you love them? Like, what is the danger in that? Like, what bad could possibly come from letting people know that you love them? I can't think of one thing. Not one thing. But if you don't, we could talk for days about the dangers of that. So it's just really important. Like, and my challenge is simply this. I hope that you, on a personal level, do something about this. But more than that, I hope that you model this to somebody else. Man, to do this just for yourself is a great start, but at the end, it's really kind of selfish. If you're not modeling this in the life of somebody else, man, there are so many ways for you to get involved. We have so many mentoring programs in our community. Like, you have so many opportunities. You can be a coach of kids who don't have a dad, who have no idea what being a man is. And so you could get involved in the lives of people. And I think it's really important we do that. Do it on a personal level and then be a discipler, disciple people. Like, we don't like to use those terms because it seems really weighty and spiritual, but that's what it is. Like, when you're sharing your life with somebody and you're helping them to learn how to live and what it is and what it means to be a man, that's just discipleship. That's all it is. And so that's my challenge for you guys today. Like, do it on a personal level, but don't stop there. Share it with somebody else. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you that you modeled love for us. God, that you showed us what it means to love, and you showed us, God, what it means to lay down our lives for our friends, not just in dying, but in living and sharing our lives with other people. God, I pray that you would help every person in this room, God, to see the importance of this, not just the men, God, but the women as well, that we would understand how important it is, God, just to love and to share ourselves with other people. God, I pray for all of the men, God, that you would help us to do a better job of being men, what a real man is. God, not to buy into the lies and the stupidity sometimes, God, that's so prevalent in the world around us, God. But we would be men that are pleasing to you, God, that we would be men who don't have anger issues, and we'd be men who have self-control in our lives, and we would be men who have and give love. God, and not just for ourselves, but God, for the next group of young men that are being raised up. God, I pray that we would understand the importance of living this kind of life, God, not for ourselves, but for them, God, so that they can see what it means to be a man. And more than that, they can see what it means to love you and to honor you. God, we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.